Welcome to the motherfucking Dark Stream podcast. I am Darth Rictus.
I am the Darth Zero.
Darth Camgentes, what's up?
Welcome to a special edition of Death Stick Free Podcasting.
I mean, this time.
And special edition.
Only at this moment. I mean, there's
an accident.
Yeah,
it was accidental.
Very accidental.
This feels like our secret layer.
See, look, we're
secret layer, no death sticks.
I know.
It's because there's an important thing. The new set dropped. So we've got to, you know,
that's important.
Focus on the thing and the stuff with the wilds and Eldraine. And boy, adventures look really good in this set. What a surprise.
Okay, so what's your favorite three cards out of the set so far, Zero?
I haven't gotten to three yet because I haven't gotten a draft yet. But the Bramble Elemental, aka Rocket Raccoon, is currently my favorite card of the set because it's just silly advantage with how it bounces to your hand. I can't give you anything beyond those because I have not tested anything besides that yet.
Okay, but for Explorer, you love tossing those in over the Paradise Druids you were rocking at the top eight of the Pizza Box tournament, correct?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay.
I think they're going to see more than just Explorer. I think they're standard viable as well.
Interesting. I've been waiting to see if there's like a tribute deck that's going to emerge, and I'm very curious if it fits into that.
It's not the greatest deck in the world.
No.
Well, we couldn't remember the greatest deck in the world, though.
It's just a tribute. Fair enough. All right, Darth Camden says, what do you got for the top three?
I don't really have a top three either, but I have some cards that I noticed. I've one and a half drafts deep.
Okay.
And the three cards that have caught my attention the most, one is Tough Cookie.
Really?
Yeah, which is an artifact creature. It's a 2/2 for green and one, and it's a food, so you can pay two, tap, sack it, and gain three. It enters and it makes a food, and you can pay green and two to make a non-creature artifact into a 4/4.
Okay.
And that has been doing some really good shit for me in draft because some of these games go kind of long. Like even the deck I'm playing right now is pretty aggro, like a Gruul aggro deck.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a random food token and a random treasure token with this thing are like 4/4 pounders. And some of the removal in white is more like, you know, pacifism.
Sure.
So if they, like that's not going to get rid of your Tough Cookie.
Right. Okay, I could see that. Have you had the opportunity to draft Ginger Brute as well?
I passed it.
You were so excited.
I haven't had a reason that I've seen to use it. There's a lot of enchantment stuff. It's really easy to do bargain. The other thing that caught my attention is, I don't remember the name of it, but it's like a gingerbread hunter or something. So it's a 5/5 for green 5 that enters the battlefield and makes a food token. Okay. But it has an adventure of black and 2 for an instant that gives a creature -2/-2 until end of turn.
Yeah.
So it's pretty decent removal from what I've seen. And then 5/5 is bigger than a lot of the things that are happening in the game. And of course, it's easy to make things bigger with all of the like this and that roll. And there's a black common, I don't remember the name of it. It's also an adventure card, where the adventure part is black 1 and it returns a creature from your graveyard to your hand. Mm-hmm. And then it itself is just like a 3/3 for 4, but if it dies, it shuffles back in.
Sure.
So having one copy of each of those in a deck did a lot of shit for me. Just between using the first one as a removal spell, then getting it down as a 5/5 and having that food that I used to bargain something else. An opponent had to commit resources to killing the 5/5 that I returned to my hand and used as removal again and then redeployed the 5/5. It's a lot of value. Hmm. And there's a lot of potential for like slow grindy shit in draft.
Sure.
And the third card, I don't know what it's called, but it's an inspiration for 3 mana or an instant speed divination, however you want to look at it.
Sure.
And that I think is probably a big deal for standard. But pretty solid in draft too to be able to draw 2 for 3 mana at instant speed.
In standard, are you thinking Esper Control, Azorius Control, Mono Blue?
I don't know. I'm just thinking that every standard, it seems like sooner or later, no matter what, we pay 4 mana for an instant speed draw 2, and it usually has like a plus side that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But costing 1 less mana is going to be better than most of the plus sides that are on those.
Okay. I can see that.
Now in draft, did you feel that, is this going to be a mid-rangey type draft or is this a late game format?
I don't know yet. Okay. I don't know yet. There's definitely the potential for late game stuff, but I also attacked somebody for a 8 on turn 3 in one of my games as well.
Fair.
Which was, I can't remember, it's an uncommon. The creature part is red 1 for a goblin. Picnic Ruiner.
Great name.
That it's a 2/2, yeah. And then when it goes into combat, it checks to see if you have a creature with power 4 or greater.
Yeah.
And if so, it gives itself +2/+. No, it gives itself double strike. And then there's a common that's green and 1 for an enchantment that gives enchanted creature +2/+2. And you can pay 5 mana to return it from your graveyard to your hand. So it's like Hammer of Bogarden on a +2/+2 enchantment.
Sure.
So I deployed the creature on turn 2. And then on turn 3, I put the enchantment on it, turned it into a 4/4 and aided my opponent with double strike. So yeah. That game was over really fucking quickly.
Okay, fair enough. Now I've noticed this the creature you're talking about, Picnic Ruiner, the clauses have changed, and this was a subtle change they did where they changed the terminology from if to when. And this was intentional for Wilds of Eldraine. It no longer checks if you have that creature, it just goes when you attack.
When you attack, if this thing, then it does that, yeah.
Yeah, but they've changed the terminology slightly so that it's less cumbersome. And I can't remember exactly how this shifted, but I remember Mark Rosewater made a comment about it on Twitter.
It all seems to work pretty smoothly.
X.
Yeah, yeah.
X.
There's one other thing I wanted to say about the 3-mana draw 2 is that one of the biggest downsides of the 4-mana draw 2s is that when you're playing the control role, opponents know to play into that because if you're going to use your counterspell or your removal, it's on your draw turn.
Sure.
So it sort of shuts off your tempo. But like turn 3 is pretty classically, at least in standard, the okay, they've got the counterspell, they've got the removal or whatever. So if you play whatever you're playing, it's going to get dealt with.
Right.
And so a lot of times it's the right move to just not do anything that turn and then force the control player to make a decision between countering your threat or, you know, getting more cards in their hand, continuing to make land drops, and being able to do this on, like, when people don't play something on turn 3 and you just draw your 2 cards is going to be backbreaking in a lot of games. And it's not even going to seem like it is, but it is going to be.
Well, I think it frees up a line that we didn't previously have, right? Because usually you have to play, or splash black, at least you get Siphon Insight, so you have something to do on that awkward turn 3. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we're not necessarily going to need that anymore. Now, is black still probably the strongest color in standard? I think so, but now we aren't reliant on it for that sequence, which is important.
Right.
Now, Zero, early impressions, and have you done any drafts so far?
Like I said, I have not gotten to draft yet. It's only a little bit of time I've gotten to play with it, so I immediately went to Explorer because of the Jankathon coming up.
Fair, fair. Okay.
Jankathon?
Well, yeah. We're qualified for this for the Jankathon.
Yeah, there's a tournament that Pizza Box puts on, and it's got, I think, $2,500 in prizes.
I don't know. It's free.
Yeah, so we're playing it because why not? Is it Explorer?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was standard.
Then maybe I saw it wrong. I saw Explorer, but we'll find out.
Check it out. We'll have to check it out. Anyway,
maybe you'll have to explore standard.
Hey,
for yourself.
I know. If I got to learn standard, I'm like, okay. In standard, I'm going with green black is where I'm starting because you know there's that
Mosswood.
Is that what the name of the 2-drop 3/2? Yeah, that card's just.
I haven't read almost all of the set yet.
One green and 1 for a 3/2. It has an adventure ability for, I think it's instant, 1 and 1 black. You lose a life, you draw a card. And when it's, is it when it dies or when it's in your graveyard that you can recur it? I forgot that part.
It's when it dies, you have 1 turn to cast it.
There we go. When it dies, you can then play it for its adventure cost again. So then you can replay it again. It just keeps looping.
It just goes in a loop as long as you've got the mana for it and you sequence it right.
Yep. And that loop in the middle keeps drawing you an extra card too.
That seems pretty good, especially with like Shieldred.
Yeah.
But what doesn't, right?
Right.
Hey, well, that card that they didn't ban.
Well, they gave us the end to try to deal with Shelley. And from what I understand, early impressions, the end is going to see substantial play. So they gave the, what would you call it? Basically a cranial extraction kill spell for Shelley. It's creatures or walkers. It cranial extracts when it kills.
So this happened before. It was a card called Eradicate.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
It's the exact same thing as Eradicate, but Eradicate was a sorcery. And Eradicate, I guess if it was in their hand, they just lost it. This one, they get a card draw if you take stuff out of their hand.
Yes.
And I think if you're at 5 life or less, it's only 2 black mana instead of...
Black 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that because I had it played against me like 40 minutes ago.
You're right.
In draft, and they took my fucking 5-drop that I actually had 3 copies of.
Oof.
More. You're right. It's standard. I looked it up on the Yankathon.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, standard.
It's fine. We can crack standard.
Just a standard Yankathon.
I think actually the biggest shift I'm looking at for standard right now, because Demir Mid was the top deck at the end of the format for pre-wilds. Like, Demir was where it was at. Everybody was on it. That was at the top levels, right? It just got better because they gave us Lord Skitter Sewer King. And that card
sounds cool. What is it?
Bonkers good, it turns out. So it's a 3/3 for 2 and a black. And
is this the Rat King?
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever you enter your combat phase, it makes a 1/1 rat that can't block. And whenever another rat comes into play, including that token, you get to exile a card from target opponent's graveyard. So it snowballs an army while it also deals with graveyard issues. And it's a 3-drop that plays really well with Gix. It also negates your opponent's Liliana and does a really good job of keeping sacrifice effects at bay in general. So it's,
and you can bargain the little guys away.
Right. Prior to this, we had this awkward scenario where we were playing 3 Lily of the Veil because like Graveyard Trespasser was getting wrecked by Void Rend and we couldn't really find a good medium ground. And now this just goes, okay, we have an army and a cannon. It's another, like, you now have 10 creatures you have to have answered immediately. You have Shellys, you have Gixes, you have Skitters, and Skitter and Gix combo together nicely. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. So I've been wrecking people with that.
That's why I'm putting the green in there. We get moss guy in there.
Except this exiles it.
Not at instant speed, though.
Yeah.
No. But you just cut it down pre-combat and then exile it when the rat hits play on combat.
Sure, but that's that. Now I can have... How many cards do you have that must be killed? 10? Now I've got 14.
It's the same score, though. Because like you play the rat, and then you go to the end of main phase 1, and then opponent on the other side can kill the Rat King before you go to combat and get that ability.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is easier to do than it was with Graveyard Trespasser, because at least this doesn't cost you another card.
Though I do believe the stop, you have to have a pre-programmed stop on Arena, or else it will skip over that transition from your main phase to the combat phase.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
So I would put the Rat King as more valuable, because most people will not innately play with a full power stop on every single phase.
If you're planning on making this line of play and you see the Rat King, hit that fucking control bar.
Yes. You are going to use full control a lot with Eldraine.
Well, more importantly, you can split between Rat King and Trespassers. You don't have to run 3 Rat Kings. You can run like a 2-1 split.
There's a lot of really, really good 3 drops for black right now. I think there's going to be a lot of flux and probably a good number of ways to build the decks differently.
There will be. But I know Demir gets a lot. And you can take out that 4th copy of Shelly from Demir now because the end's going to get played. And you can run 1 Talion. And Talion was so good for me in early access.
Italian.
Yeah. That card is really good. It's like 3/4 as good as Shelly. You know what I mean?
What does it do?
So Talion's a 2/4 flyer for 2 blue and black. And when it hits play, you get to choose a number between 1 and 10. And whenever opponent casts a spell that has power, toughness, or mana value equal to that number, they lose 2 life and you draw a card.
Mamma mia.
And 3 generally being the most valuable number they can come across and is where to go, because there's more 3 power and 3 drops in decks than any other number, at least based on the last rotation.
It'll depend deck to deck. I've named 2 a lot because people are going to have to go for the throw it pretty often. And it also hits a lot of creatures as well. Because power or toughness means you're hitting all those T-Dogs, Blood Tithes, etc. Like, it's... You just got to figure out which route you want to go, but it's very, very strong. Noting mana value for Arena, I don't know if this is a glitch or if I just misunderstand the rules. The mana value does not lock on X spells when you cast them. It's just whatever. It's just 1.
That's correct. It is. Okay. It's always been that way.
That's not my understanding. I thought when you cast an X spell, if it's big enough, you can Disdainful Stroke it. I've definitely done that.
That's when it's cast, but when you've got the spell, it's just a 1.
But the actual mana value is considered 1?
The card in their hand has a mana value of whatever
hand,
that
not
is.
Not on the stack.
The graveyard in the anywhere, but when you...
I only say this because somebody used Fairy Fencing, and you have to pay black and 1 with a fairy in play to kill a Talion, except Talion... I had Talion on 2, and I thought it would trigger. It did not trigger. So I don't know if it's a glitch on Arena or if it's something else.
Does that add it to the mana cost, or is it like you must also do this?
It's paying black and 1, because the alternate thing is just pumping up the spell because you have a fairy. It doesn't change the mana value that you have a fairy. It just changes the effect of the spell on resolution.
I'd have to read the cards.
Yeah. Right. So It's an interesting glitch if it exists, and if it isn't a glitch, it's just worth knowing regardless.
It's possible they did another game simplification. They've been putting out a bunch of them, but you know, it's like the nifty, the flip guys, like Polychronos and that. It's still a, you know, when you flip it over to its other side, it's still a 3 converted mana cost card, even though it has nothing showing. However, it does not give you any pips for green.
Really? They have it at 3 is the mana value when it flips.
Whatever its mana value is the front-facing side when you flip a card.
Yeah, that's been the case going back to Fatal Push.
Yep. Good to know. Good to know.
Oh, yeah, I've had plenty of people try to push things and like, sorry.
I figured this out when I tried to like push a flipped Avacyn because I thought it had CMC2. And the way that Fatal Push is written, you can target any creature with it.
Right. Yep.
It just won't work unless it works.
Yep. Reminds me of the old days where we'd have to hit up Schroeder and just be like, hey, buddy, so if I do this, does it work? He's like, well, you can certainly do it. And I'll tell you at resolution.
That is the wrong phrasing of that question. If I have not sacrificed a permanent, will this card kill this other card?
Yep.
That's how you phrase it.
Exactly. Got to know how to phrase stuff for the judges. They can't give you advice. They
what is the converted rules. Mana cost of a flipped card?
That's the right question.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say I got to live the dream. I've only done one draft, but Forrester and I tag teamed it in early access and did a quick 7-1 draft with red black. And we got to live the dream of Ginger Brute plus Dragon Mantle. And that was so much fun. A fire breathing Ginger Brute was worth so all the damage. It took down an entire game on its own.
Yeah, I think that's something that'll be pretty easy to get for what the Ginger Brutes are going like 13th or later. The Dragon Mantles, I think they're one of the uncommon, but it only pops up in that one slot.
Yep. But time shifted slot or whatever, basically.
Yeah, I saw it going late in the draft I was in, and I was in red and I didn't want it.
I'll give Wizards credit on this. The time-shifted cards this time, in general, have been at a good power level for the draft. They haven't destroyed the draft fun. You know, like, I got a Stab Wound and a Dragon Mantle, and those felt like draft cards. Not like, oh my god, they gave me Shelly. You know what
so
I mean?
So, if you had first pick Necropotence, would you do it? If you
Is Necro in?
Yes.
That's triple black. Hell yeah, I'd do that.
At Absolutely. Least I know that it was on the list of banned cards when Eldraine updated along with Blood Moon, Intruder Alarm, all that stuff.
Bitter Blossom.
Sneak so attack, I'm
land tax.
Unless there's a weird card that summons a Necropotence.
Draft?
Yeah, Sneak Attack
Actually,
is in.
Actually, there's a lot of commons that can answer that.
They're all pre-banned from Historic. That's the sad part.
They are indeed. But in general, they've screwed this up in the past. And outside of a few exceptions, there are not bombs to open and draft out of the time-shifted slot, which is good. Because I like knowing that a lot of the time-shifted stuff is just dope art with draft commons I always wanted to play again, you know? It had some spice without overpowering the format.
I want them to offer, like, popper drafts where I can go to a draft. There are no rares and mythics in it. That would be so much fun to draft the set and build decks like that.
Just 1K gold and popper drafts.
Yeah. That just sounds really
fun.
That sounds really fun.
I'd hop on that train.
I like the rares and uncommons because they change shit up. Like you can, okay. So for example, the deck I've got going right now is just Gruul. There's no rares and there's some uncommons. And I suspect like this is a deck that you'll be able to build a bunch of different times and it will be effective without any bombs.
Yeah.
And you could take the uncommons out and like the synergies are still there.
Yeah.
But then if it's all just a bunch of commons with that, you're just kind of like drafting into the synergies and that's it. The uncommons and the rares are kind of like that spice, at least in my experience, that allows the drafts to take on a unique flavor because sometimes shit just comes together in a way that you didn't think was going to work. And it's because of the more complex cards higher up the rarity chart.
I apologize if I misspoke. The rares and mythics are what I was wanting to not have in the pack. Still have commons and uncommons.
Proper popper.
That's not popper.
No, it's just not. Popper-ish. It's popper-esque.
Plopper?
It's draft popper to me.
Call it fapper.
I don't know. I'm just waiting for weird new thing.
Why not?
Failed popper. I don't know. Fapper. Dapper Dan.
I think the wildest realization I had for standard is realizing you can take basically 5 or 6 black cards and have that as your shell and then pick another color and it'll work. Whether it's red, blue, green, white, doesn't matter. You just start with like, all right, Evolve Sleeper, Duress, Cut Down, Go for the Throat, Shieldred's Edict, Tenacious Underdog, Shelly, pick any of the black three drops you feel is correct for the moment, and then dump that splash in there, and you're already
ooh
there.
Black. I hope that's not a good idea.
Black is wacky Mad Libs.
What's up?
Black is wacky Mad Libs.
It is.
Really, you're just
is.
Like, this is going to be, I'm just picking a couple things to put in here, but the message is just, it's safe.
This is I think why we all wanted to see so many cards getting banned, because there's a lot of cool cards in this set, and almost none of them are going to see play.
Yeah.
I mean, the mana base stuff will, but.
Yeah. I mean, black got better cards. It got Lord Skitter and Ashiok, and the new Ashiok's actually.
Boy, really we good. Just did that thing where we keep improving the color over and over.
And beseech the mirror.
Hey, look.
I would really like to play those cards if. I mean, they might not even be good enough.
Yeah.
Beseech, I don't think will be.
For standard, I don't see Beseech coming out. I think it'll do some wonders in older formats with combo rific fun. But like standard, I don't see it. I don't see it. Ashiok, though. Ashiok's got some wild shit it can do in standard because it's a replacement effect for paying life. So Gix, Ferrixion Arena, Nashi, Tenacious Underdog out of the grave, all of those get replaced with Ashiok's ability of just dumping cards out of your library into exile.
Do note that the Ashiok, which is a 5-drop planeswalker, is that correct?
Yes.
Its abilities kind of suck. Its ability is what makes it interesting, but overall as a card, it's on the low end of power.
It is.
I think it's going to be one of those things that, like, if it sees much play, it's going to be because it's problematic.
If it sees play, it's because Bullish Citadel went with it and decked the whole thing.
Right, or we've kind of amalgamated a Bullish Citadel situation in a standard deck somehow.
I could see that, where you're just like, all right, it's down to card advantage, and we run 3 Gix, 4 Ferrixion Arena, and 4 Underdogs. Get ready, Ashy, you know?
We'll see. I'm just waiting to see if Atraxa continues to be awesome. Because again, just coming back to Rocket Raccoon, that card just slots right into that.
Yeah, Atraxa is not super playable in standard right now.
That's my point.
That's the problem. Like, it should be a fun upper end deck, but Dimir is so, it's just everywhere. Like, that was the answer to Domain was playing Dimir, and then that's all that we've seen for a long time now.
Do we have any cards that are going to be enabling like lightning fast aggro? Because we could sure use some of that.
Mono Red got an upgrade.
It got an upgrade, but it's not there.
It got 3 cards that are very relevant. So it got an upgraded Savannah Alliance that turns on Godric. It got Godric, which is amazing. And then it got Charming Scoundrel, which has been wildly better than I thought it would be.
What does Han Solo do?
Godric or?
Let's start with Godric.
Charming Scoundrel, what do you think? Come on now.
All right, so Charming Scoundrel is 1 and a red for a 1/1. When it enters play, you get to pick one of 3 options. Option A, draw and discard. Option B, get a treasure token. Option C, which is almost always the right one, is pick a creature, it gets a wicked roll.
So the wicked things are silly.
Right, so it turns itself into a 2/2 that pings him for 1 when it dies, but that also turns on Godric because 2 permanents enter the battlefield. So
Godric has it for Han Solo.
Yes, hardcore. So I created an iteration of red that I ran to a 20-2 result in early access, and it was basically just get to Godric and Urabrask Forge is a 4 of, and you curve out at 3. You don't need Thundering Raiju anymore, and you only need 22 lands. And it was smooth. It was just fucking wrecking people on tempo. And I went through at least 5 different blue-black decks with it. So there's potential there, because if Urabrask Forge is where you top out, noting that Urabrask Forge turns on Godric by itself the turn you drop it, then you are going to just have inevitability over a lot of these decks, because blue-black doesn't have answers to artifacts.
Yeah.
Again, I hope it does.
I believe black now can destroy a target enchantment, though.
It's been able to do that for a while, but it's hit and miss on cards that go in there. You lose life equal to casting cost and stuff like that.
There's, I believe in the draft common, that's like 2 black and 3 for a sorcery that kills, I believe it's destroy target creature or enchantment, and then you can bargain to get a wicked roll or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds about right. Either way, mono red might actually be viable. The fact that you have so many ways to turn on Godric, and Godric is that good. Like, I've played with it a lot at this point for how far the set's come, you know, and it's really good. You know,
get flying, swallow all the mana. Yeah, seems good.
4/4 fire breathing dragons for 3 are with haste are good. So I think that's going to be a thing. The fact that it gets Squee as backup that also turns on Godric,
and then I could put in Shiv and Devastator.
Godric is just like nutting everywhere.
Yeah, the whole point of the deck is nut Godric on your
it football. It sounds kind of like mono red, but splash white, you know?
What? Jesus. That's a heavy splash, that's for sure.
Depends on the draw, right?
Yeah, it sounds good. It's mono red, splashing green, black, and blue.
spicy ranch.
Well, the thing I also like about it is we still have Sword Pro Blue Black, and you can run one or two copies in your mono red deck and use it to bring back lightning strikes and stuff.
Now, are there enough instants and things in there still that are viable? I didn't see. Did we get any new burn type cards?
We did. We actually got two that were irrelevant. We got an upgraded Magma Spray that can bargain its way to hit three toughness creatures while giving you scry.
Players yet?
No, but it hits walkers and creatures. And then we also got this Witchstalker Frenzy card, which I originally didn't think would be good and has been blowing people out. So it's 3 and a red, instant, deal 5 damage to target creature. But it costs 1 less for each creature that attacked this turn, whether it's yours or your opponent's. So I have many games where you just pay 1 red and kill Shelly.
I don't know if it in the end it'll be good enough, but there's a card, I can't remember what it's called. It's like, who cares? Dirty Mike and the Boys. And it's an instant for 1 black that gives a creature -1/-1 up to 1 target creature -1/-1 and then makes one of those rats that can't block.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And
let's call that Dirty Mike and the Boys forever.
Dirty Mike and the Boys, yeah. Because Dirty Mike, you know, shrinks the creature and then like the rat is from the Boys. And that if it can consistently like be a one of in a main deck or a sideboard, I could see that be really powerful if it can take down like mana creatures or like fast early aggro creatures and at the same time provide you with bargain fodder or just a body to take these roles.
Yeah. The fact that it also plays well with Gix is a big deal. You know, now you have a 1/1 that hits for a card.
Yes, it does. The question is, what does it kill that matters though?
Mm-hmm. No. I don't care about a 1/1 that can't block.
Well, okay. Let's start here. Evolve Sleeper and Fairy Mastermind die to it.
All right.
Not always with Evolve Sleeper, but more often than not. Well,
sometimes
I would say.
You can get them to waste some mana on it too.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. It's going to kill a lot of the red 1-drops. Not Monastery Swift Spear or Kamano, but you're going to hit the Embereth Shieldbreaker and a few others, the Embereth Veterans. Green's just not even seeing play right now, so nothing there.
We'll figure it out. But there's not mana dorks, and the mana dorks that there are have 2 butts.
Yeah, it seems to be like a 2-mana dork format. Don't we have a Mind Stone or something? We got a Mana Rock, a 2-mana legendary Mana Rock.
The Iron Craig, and everyone's trying to play with 4 copies, and it's legendary. It's really not the way you want to play that card.
I think it could work fine as long as you've got, you know, some kind of card draw engine that's looting.
Because can't you bargain away an artifact?
You can.
So I think 4 of those is something viable if you pick the right deck.
Sure. It could accelerate you into turn 3 Shelly technically, because you go turn 2 that, turn 3 Beseech in mono black.
The goal is to not play Shelly. Let's see if we can do anything that isn't playing Shelly before we just give in like we have for the past how many sets? The
standard's going to go, at some point it'll go back to just like Shelly.
Yeah, because let's at least take 2 weeks and be like, all right, let's try not the Shelly decks before Wizards does the thing again and doesn't ban anything.
I remember being in an FNM like right after the very first Kamigawa set came out.
Yeah.
And it was like the 2 biggest whales in that store had already dumped like all their money into all the $20 rares that they wanted.
Yeah.
And they're both playing 4 copies of Old Kokusho.
Oh, God.
And 4 copies of Cranial Extraction. And they were racing to like Cranial your Cranial and then Cranial your Kokusho.
Woot, woot.
Good God.
And you can't do that with the end. You can't like Cranial the Cranial.
Right.
But I actually think the end might be what you have to do, and that might be correct.
Yeah,
with the Shellys.
Oh, my guess is people will start cutting Shelly down to a 3 or 2 of in response to the end.
That would also be very good against Godric too, because you just can't get got like that now.
Godric I already have as a 3 of. I don't think I want the 4th copy at the moment. But yeah, between Godric and Squee, well, you run 3 and 3 of each, and then 4 Urbrask Forge, and that's 10 3-drops. That's plenty. They can't hit Urbrask Forge with the end, and that thing will actually end the game, unlike the end.
Yet.
Fair. But I don't know. I would start with mono red if you don't want to play a Shelly deck, because I think there's a lot of ways to build mono red, and there's a lot of options on how you want to pursue killing all the Shelly decks with it.
You right, know, so green blue is where to start.
Jesus.
Yeah, I got some ideas.
Do they involve dying to Shieldred?
No. They all involve ramping, though.
Did they involve getting blown out by Duress, Pilfer, Disdainful
Spirit? Oh, yeah. You lose to the color black because it's the best color, but I'm just trying to do something nuts.
Oh, God. I don't know. I want to play with Decadent Dragon. That's the card I'm most intrigued by.
I'm not familiar with that one.
So it's the rare adventure in red that's it's red-black. So it's 2 and a black, instant. Exile the top 2 cards of your opponent's library. You can play them whenever.
Oh, it's... Yeah, okay, now I remember that one. Yeah, it's just the...
And then 2 red-red, 4/4 flying dragon that when it swings, you get a token. So it's...
Isn't it trample too?
Nope. But it's fixed gold span, basically, was the
makes
idea.
Makes a treasure?
Yep, whenever it swings. It's like a fixed
treasure untapped span. Or tapped?
Untapped.
Okay. I think if you... Yeah, if you've got stuff that you want to be sacrificing,
yeah,
that's probably going to drive how good that is.
Right. I think it's got some potential is the point. I don't know where it fits, whether you put it in like a mid-range shell or if you put it as the top end of like an artifact shell.
It kind of strikes me as just like value.
Right.
Like we're trying to get a 3-for-1 or better if possible. And, you know, my mind just goes to Jund. And also if you're in Jund, it's more likely you can fucking cast what it gives you.
That's the direction of Magic nowadays. It's can you build all colors as Jund?
Well, Jund gets Mosswood Dread Knight plus the Dragon. That is a lot of value between those 2 cards.
Who cares? You have to play Shelly.
Yeah, it's...
You don't, though. Imagine if you played it that way and you just played 4 copies of the end.
Man, I hope that that's right. I hope that's right.
You're just like, no to your Shelly and then no to your next best creature also.
I super hope that's the way.
I could see that for Jund. I really could. It's got all the pieces it needs to fuck with everything except for the Atraxidex.
Or at least maybe if the end starts becoming a really common solution.
Yeah.
That... Maybe you just play like 1 or 2 Shellys.
That would be my guess.
It's not going to be correct to play 0. It's just not.
No.
No, 1 goes into anything with black, basically. But whether you go more than 2 is going to start being a question mark with the end because you're going to have to balance your end slots versus Shelly slots.
Can we get to the point that you play 5 singleton copies of 4-drops in decks? I really want that to happen.
I think it's possible.
And then like 2 besiege the mirror?
Yeah, like let's go for the...
But that's something else I've been thinking about too, is that like you could have a Tutor toolbox deck built around Beseech if only there was a fucking reason to do that.
The problem is there isn't like Damnation. You know what I mean? There aren't great Wrath effects in 1, 2, 3, or 4 CC. They start around 5.
There would need to be, and it can't be that far out of black since this is like triple black 1.
Right.
There would need to be so many 4 and 3 mana cards that are just... Like in the right situation, it's going to have to be worth 3 cards in the right situation.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see that.
At least on standard Explorer, you get, at least get Languish.
Although, come to think of it, if it is that situation where it's like, do I need my copy of the end? Because I don't want to play a bunch of those. Or do I want to get my 1 Shieldred because that's going to go bananas? Maybe, you know.
Wait, maybe we can build Domain, but with focus on black and then pull off I believe it's the 4-drop domain thing that sweeps boards.
Drag to the bottom.
Yeah, thank you. There we go.
Yeah, that could be done.
Yeah, we could rebuild domain with drag to the bottom and beseech and see what happens because you would run Ironcrag in that deck and you absolutely would run other things that are easy to bargain away.
Look at this. We already got our 4 Ironcrag in. Win.
I mean, Courier's Briefcase comes to mind as an interesting
thing.
Yeah,
look at that great card.
Yeah, you could actually use it for... Sacrifice it for the mana and, you know, sacrifice the citizen to make it happen.
Yeah.
And accelerate to do it turn 3. So yeah, there might be something there. There might be something there where we're like tutoring 4-drops and it's like Shelly, the end, a sweeper or 2, and then like 1 other thing.
I mean, you know someone's going to build Beseech to go get Enigmatic Incarnation.
Oh, for Explorer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's going to happen.
That's going to be hilarious.
I shouldn't die. That's going to be the logic the whole time.
I think that's the logic of this set. Why shouldn't I?
Beseech really does want you to get real greedy with it, and I'm inclined to try at least a few iterations. I like the idea of Domain, though, because it gets us out of this narrow mono black with maybe a splash.
Domain with a triple black 4-mana sorcery is the definition of greed.
I think we can do it, though. We have enough triumphs. Like, I actually think we could pull this off.
I agree. It's doable. It's absolutely doable.
Because you need, what, like 20 sources of black?
Something like that, yeah.
We could get there.
Depending on what turn you're wanting to cast it, if you're not casting until likely turn 5, you're probably not casting on turn 4. You can get away with like 18, 19.
I think if we're relying on it being a sweeper to catch us up, we've got to be able to do it on turn 4.
In that case, I think you need 22.
And here's the other problem, though, is that like those lands come into play fucking tapped.
Yeah, right. but you get to run Celestis, you get to run Topiary Stomper.
Double green?
Yeah, but you'll easily have, it's going to be a green black deck that like splashes out, which is kind
Topiary of Stomper is kind of a Nombo with sweepers.
Yeah.
Topiary Stomper?
I think I'd rather just be slower and play battle that lets me get two basic lands and throw them into play.
You get to bargain it.
No, you don't.
Why wouldn't you bargain Topiary Stomper?
Because bargain only gets artifacts, tokens, and enchantments.
Oh, it doesn't get creatures?
It does not get creatures.
Oh,
no.
Motherfucker. Okay.
This is why we were saying that.
I already lost the draft game is, because I thought that.
Yeah, the mirror card is not that strong.
Never mind. Topiary, bad little dino. Look what you've done.
We can still ramp some. There's like a rampant growth in the format, right? No?
There's a bunch of enchantments in this set, though, that like enter the battlefield and do something pretty decent.
Yeah.
And then just sit there, and then you can sacrifice them to scry. Kind of like what we had in the last Theros set.
Sure. Hopeless Nightmare in black's pretty decent.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's the bargain is incredibly easy to accomplish.
True.
Incredibly easy to accomplish.
Fair. We'll have to fuck around with the domain list and just see if there's something viable. I mean, if there isn't, so be it. But I would like to find a way to break that card if possible, because if it's broken, it could dominate.
And then we can play Atraxa somewhere in the 75 because we're a domain.
Ooh, I know. I know what I'm going to build. I'm going to take my artifact red-black deck, turn it into domain, because starting my list with 4 Courier's Briefcase and 4 Cityscape Leveler's main sounds amazing.
But will you play Sir Ginger, Mielender?
No.
Not even in the sideboard?
No.
are you going to get a tattoo of that?
Maybe. That might be a tattoo bet we do at some point this year. I'm going to be honest. I might do it anyway, just because.
Yeah, I would never take that bet with you, because given enough time, you'll just get that tattoo.
It does seem like a perfect...
Mielender, are you serious?
It seems like a perfect back of the... God, what do they call it?
Leg? Oh,
there we go. Yeah, back of the leg.
We'll see if we can get the artist to do a special rendering that just says bang bang on it.
Promise I didn't have any death sticks.
Yeah, just add some flavor text that says bang bang.
Yeah.
I think I tried to get it so it was like right off the tip of the spear where it just has in like those exclamation points, just bang bang.
Like, like through the spear is going through like a taco and a hamburger.
Yeah.
And like a chicken.
Ooh, slice of pie on there. Or cake.
A slice of pie.
Or maybe I just put it right through another gingerbread man. So it's going through Gingerbrute.
See, now we're running a Gingerbrute train, and I don't know.
This is now an all
ginger. Then you're eating the Gingerbrutes, and I noticed that some of the ginger-shaped things are like a bunch of ass-shaped mouths in this set. A bunch of butthole mouths in this set all over the place.
Dude, there is that one that's like a big anus. It's just eating
There's
things.
More than one.
But I know that one. This is when I like the center of the card is a big anus with teeth.
Is it drooling chocolate?
I forgot.
Devouring sugar maw.
Is that it? Devouring sugar maw.
Yes. And it is 100% a teethed anus.
That is straight up.
The moment you look at the art, you're like, that can be nothing else. That is just a hungry anus going for it.
Hungry anus.
It eats every single
Everyone's favorite too. Childhood game.
Yeah. You have
in Catholic school.
You what? Have to sacrifice to it. You have to sacrifice or else it taps. It's a hungry, hungry anus.
I'm thinking of the Hungry Hungry Hippos, like you hitting the thing really fast and you just got an asshole eating things. This is great.
I don't think we're going to top that. That was a great podcast, everybody. Good night.
The end.
Anus.